Let me take the issue of identity and view it in terms of initial separation that gradually becomes a state of union. Stage 1. I am small and insignificant, stranded on the vast expanse of nature. I hope I can survive. Stage 2. I can do more than survive. I can compete and fulfill more of my needs. Stage 3. I am peaceful inside. My inner world is beginning to satisfy me more than outward things. Stage 4. I am self-sufficient. Things may not always go my way, but that doesn't shake me anymore. Stage 5. I have discovered how to manifest my desires from within. My inner world turned out to have power. Stage 6. I am at the center of an immense scheme of power and intelligence that emanates from God. Stage 7. I am. You can accurately graph a person's spiritual growth on this scale alone. The ego moves from an isolated, helpless state to a realization that it might have power. Then it looks for where that power comes from, at first deciding that it must be external in the form of money and status, but in time realizing that the source of power is internal. More time passes and the difference between inner and outer power dissolves. All of reality is perceived as having one source. In the end, you are that source. Let's try another issue, that of faith. Stage 1, faith is a matter of survival. If I don't pray to God, He can destroy me. Stage 2, I am beginning to have faith in myself. I pray to God to help me get what I want. Stage 3, faith brings me peace. I pray that life should be free from turmoil and distress. Stage 4, I have faith that inner knowledge will uphold me. I pray for more insight into God's ways. Stage 5. Faith tells me that God will support my every desire. I pray that I am worthy of His faith in me. Stage 6. Faith can move mountains. I pray to be God's instrument of transformation. Stage 7. Faith melts into universal being. When I pray, I find that I'm praying to myself. Notice how strikingly different the same word is in each stage. When people say that they have faith or that they believe in prayer, you cannot be certain what they mean without more understanding. This accounts for why there is such wild divergence of opinion about whether God listens to prayers and answers them. In relative terms, it all depends on your level of consciousness. At lower levels, the thoughts behind a prayer may be too diffuse to create a result. As separation closes, the gap between prayer and result is closed. Every prayer is answered. At the level of miracles, prayer has the power to alter outward events. Finally, in the state of unity consciousness, there is no need for prayer. Your every thought comes from the soul. Therefore, you would only be praying to yourself. A boundary is the same as a horizon. If you attempt to walk around the world, the horizon is the furthest boundary of your sight, yet it keeps advancing ahead of you as you move. The spiritual equivalent is stated eloquently in a verse from the mystical Catholic monk, Thomas Merton. The Lord travels in all directions at once. The Lord arrives from all directions at once. Wherever we are, we find that He has just departed. Wherever we go, we find that He has just arrived before us. In literal terms, this verse states two things. One, we already know. God is elusive because He exists in the domain of uncertainty, where time and space aren't fixed. The other is that God is always perceived within boundaries. We get only a limited idea of Him, and that limited idea keeps shifting. There is no cure for this misperception until the final stage of unity. Until then, the gap of separation keeps causing the mind to think it knows God when only partial knowledge is available. In shorthand form, here are the horizons that limit our vision in the seven stages. Stage 1. horizon of fear. I provide for the necessities and look out for myself. But when I get anxious, I feel lost. Only God knows why bad things happen in this world. Bounded by anxiety, insecurity, dependency. Stage 2, horizon of control. I exert power and relish competition as a way of fulfilling my ambitions. But when things get beyond my control, I'm totally frustrated. Only God knows why things don't work out the way I plan. Bounded by guilt, duty, victimization. Stage 3, horizon of fatalism. I'm at peace with myself and know what is happening with me inside. But I lose my center when nothing makes sense anymore. Only God knows why destiny can be so cruel and capricious. Bounded by karma, introversion, lack of power. Stage 4, horizon of self-deception. I navigate through the world with much more intuition and insight than most people, but I can be misled by my inner voice at times. Only God knows why my intuition deceives me just when I need it most. Bounded by hidden secrets, past conditioning, ego needs. Stage 5, horizon of fantasy. My inner world is rich with new discoveries, and I have enough awareness to see that my thoughts come true. But some of my deepest wishes stay on the level of unreachable fantasies. Only God knows why this happens. Bounded by self-absorption, grandiosity, playing God. Stage 6, horizon of identity. My whole life is devoted to service, and I can be selfless in the face of great demands from others. But sometimes the suffering of humanity makes me want to escape this world. Only God knows why I can't lose myself in Him all the time. Bounded by thought, personal ego, traces of old conditioning. Stage 7. Infinity. No horizon. I see no difference between my mind and the mind in all things. My identity is one with all people. Only God knows that I am merged into Him in all dimensions at all times. Boundless. Perhaps this is the most telling chart of all because we identify so completely with our boundaries. The horizon is fluid, however. Each stage breaks the boundaries of the one that came before.